Glory be to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith and power. God's word is alive. God's word is life-changing. God's word has the ability to change your life and to transform you. God's word has the ability to alter the course of your life for good. God's word is the game changer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You see, many times, the reason why people don't get the best out of the word of God is because they're not feeding on God's word on a regular basis. I keep insisting on this. If this generation is going to experience the power of God like never before, we must be constant and consistent in our word intake. Hallelujah. We must continually receive the word of God. We must allow the word of God be seen as a regular diet. The word of God must be seen, must be discerned as food for nourishment on a daily basis. This is not about you coming once in a while, strolling in once in a while. It's about dwelling there. Look at Psalm 1. Look at how David says this in Psalm 1. Book of Psalm. Glory to Jesus. Psalm chapter 1 from verse 1. It's about dwelling there. It's about abiding in the word of God. From verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever it does shall prosper. Have you seen? It's about dwelling in the word of God. Hallelujah. Dwelling in the word of God, tarrying in it, till it produces a change. Tarrying in it till it delivers results. Hallelujah. And when I'm talking about results, I'm not just talking about any kind of results. I'm talking about results according to scriptures, spiritual growth, maturity, a transformation of your life in the which you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit effortlessly on a daily basis. I've heard of Christians who are still struggling with serious habits, chronic habits. They don't know how to break free from such habits because they are trying to break free from those habits by struggling and trying to do it by their might. But God wants you to just feed on the word of God till the word of God bets in you strength and nourishment to a point where you're able to stand your ground and say no to every temptation that comes your way. See the man Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, in the temptation of Jesus. See how Jesus walked away from temptation gallantly. Hallelujah. He walked away from it like a king, like he was not moved at all. Glory be to Jesus. You can actually walk over temptations in the same way. It's about how much you feed on the word of God, how much you pay attention to the truth of the word of God, how much you allow the word of God saturate your mind, saturate your soul, how much you allow the word of God dwell in you richly to the point where it bets in you strength. Hallelujah. Strength of character is a product of a renewed mind. A man whose character is weak has an unrenewed mind. Hallelujah. His mind is unrenewed. And the only way to renew your mind is to continually and deliberately feed on the word of God. What is lacking in the life of many believers today is the culture of being deliberate with spiritual disciplines. Hallelujah. Being deliberate. Being deliberate. You have to be intentional and you have to be diligent about it. The man that would grow as he ought to grow is the man that will be deliberate about spiritual disciplines. You should have times when you switch off your data on your phone. You should have times when you go away apart from the noise, move away from every other person just to go have time alone in the word of God and in prayers. You must be deliberate and you must be conscious about it. You must be deliberate and you must be conscious about it. You are not going to live the Christian life accidentally. Glory to Jesus. It's not going to happen by mistake or by chance. It is something you deliberately give yourself to. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I just said that to charge you and to stir you up again this morning. Be encouraged. Take it up as a challenge and go for spiritual disciplines. Hallelujah. Remission of sins. We've been studying remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. And we're just going to make progress today. You know, we've been considering the word propitiation for the past few days now. Propitiation. And then we've seen how that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins in the sense that he has brought to completion the eternal purpose of God. Jesus fulfilled the eternal purpose of God. Hallelujah. By his death and resurrection, God's plan of salvation was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And this is the reason why the Father is propitiated in the Son. Hallelujah. The Father is propitiated in the Son because all that the Father sought to accomplish for humanity, all that the Father sought to do for man, God was able to do in Christ Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then something we've noted also is how that what God sought to accomplish and to do in Christ Jesus was to deliver humanity from the power of death. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 to 15. Bible says, in as much then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So until the power of death was broken over humanity, the Father couldn't be propitiated. The Father wouldn't have been propitiated or wouldn't have been satisfied with that work. And you see, this is the reason why the blood of Jesus goes beyond his death, speaks also of his life, of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Because it is by his resurrection, it demonstrates power over death. It is by his resurrection, he gains victory over death. Hallelujah. And over the devil who has the power of death. Glory be to God. So the blood of Jesus goes beyond his death. It also speaks of his life. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 again. Hebrews 9, 11 to 12. Bible says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Have you seen? Have you seen? So when he says he entered the most holy place with his blood, I've been emphasizing this for the past 2 days now, that the most holy place is not where he went in his death. The most holy place is where he entered in his resurrection. The most holy place being the presence of God himself. Hallelujah. So Jesus entered into heaven with his blood. Now that's not to assume that Jesus carried the bowl of blood into heaven. That speaks of his life. He entered as the resurrected one. Glory to Jesus. And that's the offering of his blood in the most holy place. He presented himself as one alive from the dead, as one who has gained victory over death for the sake of man. Hallelujah. And that's the propitiation. That's the blood that propitiates the Father. The life of Christ is resurrection. You know what? Because God gave him commandments to lay down his life and to pick it up again. So it was not just about his death. God gave him commandment to rise again. Jesus says, no one takes this life from me. I lay it down to pick it up again. So until he picked up his life again, until he rose again from the dead, until he came back from the realm of the dead triumphant, the work was not done. Hallelujah. So the Father was propitiated, satisfied in his resurrection. Glory be to Jesus. So we see, Bible says, he entered with his own blood into the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Verse 23, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So you see that where Jesus went into, that is referred to as the most holy place or the only place in heaven, is the presence of God. Hallelujah. The very presence of God. That's where he entered with his blood. And I've repeated also how that 1 Corinthians 15:50 to 51 makes us realize that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, flesh and blood, mortality, will not gain access or entry into heaven. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:50 specifically. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inheriting corruption. So that means Jesus couldn't have gained access or entry into heaven, the very presence of God, with his mortal flesh. So Jesus did not ascend into heaven with human body and human blood. No, he ascended into heaven with his life, his spirit. Glory be to God. And it is in that the Father is propitiated. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. You know, this is why Jesus himself, Christ himself, is called the propitiation. Himself. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Bible says, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. He himself, his very life is the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. So Christ himself is the propitiation. The Father is propitiated because of the outcome of his sacrifice. Glory be to God. Imagine, look at life before the cross of Christ, and let's see life after the cross of Christ. You know, I've shown you in this teaching how that the reason why the Father was displeased and was not delighted and was not happy with humanity, in quote, was because of our state. Hallelujah. Was because of our state. Bible refers to us as being once darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. We were once darkness. Bible says, but now we are light in the Lord. And I said, there's no way God will have been pleased with darkness. Hallelujah. There's no way darkness will have satisfied the heart of the Father. Bible says God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So God cannot behold darkness and be fully satisfied and be pleased with what he's seeing. So the propitiation happened because of the outcome of Jesus' sacrifice. In his sacrifice, men are turned from darkness to light. Glory be to God. From darkness to light. Look at Acts of Apostles, chapter 26. Glory be to Jesus. Acts of Apostles 26. See what Jesus said to Paul when he was appointing him as an apostle. Acts of Apostles 26. Glory be to God. I'll read from verse 15. Bible says, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Verse 18, point of emphasis. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, that he may turn them from what? From darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. So because of the state we were in, the Father could not be satisfied. The Father could not be pleased. It was beyond the things we were doing. It was about the state we were in. Hallelujah. Just like I showed you Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, Bible says, you he made alive, we were dead in sins and trespasses. We were dead. Hallelujah. We were dead. We were dead, and because of that state, that position, you see, there is nothing in that state that will please God. Hallelujah. Imagine that God is life and we were dead, the very opposite of who God is. Hallelujah. God is light, we were darkness, the very opposite. So there was nothing in that state that would have been pleasing in the sight of God. So when Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he finally gave God the opportunity or the chance to make all things right. Glory be to God. He finally gave God the chance to change our state, our status, our life. Hallelujah. And then we were transformed from darkness to light, from being dead to being made alive unto God. And that is the propitiation. God is satisfied because of the outcome of the work of Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is satisfied because of the outcome of the work of Christ. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 7 from verse 18. Romans 7, 18, Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I will do it, but sin that dwells in me. Have you seen? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Look at that kind of state. So there was nothing in that state that was pleasing in the sight of God. As a matter of fact, it is not even pleasing to man. Glory to Jesus. The man himself is expressing his displeasure in this kind of state. Glory to Jesus. Nothing good dwells in me. Now look at life after the cross. Philemon 1:6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So, in Christ Jesus, there are good things in us. Unlike when we were in the flesh, nothing good dwells in me. Now in Christ Jesus, there are every good thing. Hallelujah. Every good thing that you must acknowledge in Christ Jesus, that are in you in Christ Jesus today. Ephesians 1:3. Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. That life, that state is what satisfies the Father. Hallelujah. That God looks into you. God looks at you and sees every good thing. God looks at you and sees every good thing. God looks at you and sees all the blessings in the heavenly places. He's satisfied. Hallelujah. This is the outcome of the work of Jesus. Jesus has produced men who are vessels of every good thing in him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's the propitiation. James chapter 1 verse 17 to 18. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from above from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Of his own will, verse 18, begat he us, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Hallelujah. God by Spirit has begotten us, and now we are the first fruits of his creatures. Glory be to God. We are the flagship. Hallelujah. We are the flagship of God's creation, the best of all that God has made. Glory be to God. You see, when God was going to make the heavens and the earth, he only said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, and they all appeared. When God was to make us in Christ Jesus, he had to send his son in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. Jesus had to die, rise again from the dead, and we are products of his resurrection. So Bible refers to Jesus as the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. We are the best of God's creation. The best of God's creation. The best of all that God has made. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And it's in this reality that God is well pleased, that God is satisfied, that God is propitiated. The outcome of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the perfecting of men and women. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The recreation of men and women after the likeness of God. Of course, in Christ Jesus, there's no gender. There's neither female nor male in Christ Jesus. So there's the perfecting of men in Christ Jesus. And this is the propitiation. This is the reason why the Father is pleased. So the Father is well pleased with us because of who we have become in his Son. Hallelujah. There are many Christians out there who are trying to get the attention of God. They are trying to get God's attention. They are trying to get the attention of God. They want to be well pleasing in his sight. They are doing everything and religion has not helped. Lots of teachings and preachings and sermons have not helped. They have fueled this desire for men to do everything to be well pleasing in the sight of God. Not knowing that we already are well pleasing in God's sight. You see, there's a reason why we are called beloved in scriptures. In the New Testament, close to 20 times the word beloved is used for the believers, used for certain individuals and for the believers generally. Over 20 times, the word beloved, 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 that means, and you know that word means to be esteemed. It means to be God's favorite. It means to be worthy of love. Hallelujah. That's exactly who we have become in Christ Jesus. We are God's beloved. We are worthy of his love. Hallelujah. Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are not trying to get God's attention. We already got his attention in Christ Jesus. We are God's beloved. We are God's beloved. We are worthy of his love. You know, there's this idea, you know, I'm not worthy of you. I don't deserve you. That was our past. Hallelujah. Right now, the word beloved means to be worthy of God's love. God has made you so worthy of his love. Hallelujah. So worthy of his love. God is well pleased with us. Hallelujah. Now, there's the place of pleasing God in our works, no doubt. There's the place of doing things that please the Father. But we are saying as individuals, as people of God, positionally, we are already well-pleasing in the sight of God. It's the same way we are righteous in his sight, but then there's the place of bearing fruits of righteousness. It's the same way we are holy in the sight of God, holy positionally, holy by nature, but there's the place of walking in holiness. So we are well-pleasing in his sight by default, positionally. That's our state. We are well-pleasing in the sight of God. But then we are to walk and please God in our works. In what we do. You know, when a man has a child, the baby or your child is well pleasing to you. It's not a function of what your child has done. Just the fact that that child is your product. Hallelujah. Is the fruit of your body. So you are well pleased to that child because you know you conceived that child and you bet for that child. Hallelujah. So your child is your product and you are delighted in the fact that that child is a fruit of your body. The fruit of your labor. Hallelujah. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we are God's product, we are his vessels. We are the product of God. So because of that, God is well pleased in us. Whatever we are is who he made us. So God is well pleased because he made us who we are. Hallelujah. Whatever we are in Christ is who God made us. So God is well pleased because we are the product of God. We are the fruit of his labor. Hallelujah. But then you know that there's the place of your child now doing things that please you. Hallelujah. Doing things that you approve. Glory be to God. So, but then before the doing, there's the position in the which the man or the child is well pleasing in your sight for being your child. That's what we're talking about. So the Bible instructs us to do things to please the Lord. That is the things that God approves. And let's look at those things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 1. Look at the things that we're told to do to please God, you discover that those are things that God approves, not necessarily the things that are of benefit to God. Hallelujah. Don't have this idea of trying to do something for the benefit of God. It is not God that is at the receiving end of our goodness. It is men. Let your light shine therefore before men that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. So at the end of the day, all that abounds to God is thanksgiving and glory and honor. Hallelujah. But it is men that receive the goodness that we do. It is men that are the receiving end or beneficiaries of our goodness. 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse 1. Bible says, finally, then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandment we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, not like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So you see that we do not defraud our brothers in this matter. Glory be to God. That we do not do harm to our brothers. We don't do harm to our brothers. So this is what we are expected to do as believers, to walk and to please God. That is to do the things that he approves. To walk in love. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. Look at this also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. Bible says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This is talking about the work of ministry. So we are expected to not entangle ourselves with the affairs of life so we can do the work of ministry as we ought to. Hallelujah. So there's the place of doing things to please God, doing the things he approves, serving him faithfully. But there's the place of being well-pleasing in the sight of God. This is not a function of what we do or what we have done or what we shall do. It's a function of what Christ did. Christ is our propitiation in this sense. Hallelujah. Christ is our propitiation in this sense. We are well-pleasing in the sight of God because we are products of his resurrection. Glory be to God. So that when God looks at us, he sees the life of his son. That's the propitiation. Like we've seen that the blood of Jesus goes beyond his death. The blood of Jesus, which is the propitiation for our sins, goes beyond his death. It speaks of his life. So when God looks at us, he sees that life. And you know, he can't fault that. Hallelujah. God cannot fault his own life. God can find fault in everything. Bible even says he finds fault in his angels. God can find fault in everything in this world. But you know what? God cannot fault his own life. He can't fault himself. Glory to Jesus. And that's the very life that came to us by virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. The life of God. So when God looks at you and I, he can't fault what he sees in us, because what he sees in us is his very life. Hallelujah. His very life. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. So we are faultless and blameless in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Woo! We are faultless and blameless in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. Glory to God. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Have you seen this? A glorious church. He presents her to himself as a glorious church. A glorious church. A glorious church. Not having spot. Have you seen? No wrinkle. No spot, no wrinkle. He says that she should be holy and without blemish. The word blemish there actually means to be with fault. So it means to be without fault in the sight of God. It is Jesus that presents us to himself in that state. That is the product of Jesus' death and resurrection. Faultless, blameless, without spot in the sight of God. God is propitiated because he finds no fault in us. Hallelujah. Look at Jude 24 to 25. If you are waiting for me to call the chapter, it's because you are not familiar with your Bible. The book of Jude has only one chapter. So it's just best to say Jude 2, Jude 3, Jude 4, or Jude 24, as the case may be. And then you know we are just referring to that one chapter. So Jude 24, glory to God, Jude 24 to 25. Bible says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Both now and forever. Amen. So he says he is able to keep you from stumbling. That word stumbling there means he's able to prevent you from falling off salvation. God is able to prevent you from stumbling off salvation. He's able to present you faultless. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, We are presented faultless in the presence of God. So God finds no fault in us. Hallelujah. God finds no fault in us. The only one, the most holy one, finds no fault in us because he has made us partakers of his holiness in Christ Jesus. Of his holiness in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, his blood, his life, his spirit produced men without blemish in the sight of God. The spirit, the life, the blood of Christ has produced men that are without blemish in the sight of God. In the Old Testament, let me close with this. The blood of sprinkling in the Old Testament was administered to the people also. So when the priest or the high priest was sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat, on the altar, on the tabernacle and all that, he was also going to sprinkle the people. And that's why there's still something called the blood of sprinkling as a practice or a doctrine in some Pentecostal settings today, where people are being sprinkled with red substance. It could be tasty time, it could be coke, it could be anything, it could be wine, it could be, I heard that there are places where they sprinkle real blood of goats and animals. That's absurd. Nobody has sent us to do that. You see, let me say this. There are things that should not be a problem at all. There are things that should not be hard to figure out. There are things that should not creep into our minds at all. This is not even about not knowing how to properly interpret scriptures. Just read through the book of Acts and look at the practice of the early church. Do you find such awkward things practiced in the early church? Do you find the apostles gathering people, sprinkling blood over them? I mean, there is no precedence for this in the Bible. In the New Testament, there's no precedence for this in the New Testament. The apostles did not practice it. They didn't teach it. They didn't practice it. So you don't find such practices. Why on earth would a man awake one day and begin to sprinkle blood on people, calling that the blood of sprinkling in the New Testament? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's our desire to just be different and just be unique, have, you know, this aura of mystery around us that makes us do very, very incredible things. Very, very, very ridiculous things. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The blood of sprinkling in the Old Testament is definitely different from the blood of sprinkling in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were sprinkling physical blood on people. Exodus 24:8. Blood was sprinkled on men. Hebrews chapter 9, look at this. Verse 18 to 24. Blood was sprinkled, literally, in the Old Testament. But because the Old Testament is a shadow of the good things to come, you should realize that the Old Testament blood of sprinkling cannot be the same as the New Testament blood of sprinkling. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 18 to 24. Let me read now. Bible says, therefore not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. Have you seen? So why are we sprinkling only blood today? What we find there is not just blood. We find water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled on people. So if you want to complete, if you want to fulfill this, you must look for hyssop and scarlet wool, you know, and water and all these things. But it's unnecessary because this was the old covenant, which is a shadow of the good things to come in the new covenant, the good things that have come. Glory be to Jesus. Look at verse 20. Saying this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you, then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now look at verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. So this already shows us that what is administered to men in the new covenant is better than what is administered to men in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So the blood of sprinkling in the Old Testament cannot be the same with the blood of sprinkling in the new covenant. Hallelujah. It can't be the same. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1 to 2. Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is purely a metaphorical expression. Hallelujah. This is purely a figure of speech. Blood of sprinkling here speaks of the giving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In sanctification of the spirit. You know, I showed you yesterday, 2 days ago also, you know, in the last two episodes, I showed you how that what washes and sanctifies us in the New Testament, what cleanses us in the New Testament is the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11, washed, sanctified, justified by the Spirit of our God and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3:4-7, we see how we are changed, are transformed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ is a figure of speech that refers to how we've been cleansed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, blood of sprinkling in the new covenant is a metaphor. Glory be to Jesus. It's a metaphor. So, it is not that God is sprinkling blood on us. What was shed on us? In fact, Titus chapter 3, where he says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, the KJV says, which is shed upon us abundantly. What was shed upon us is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is what God gave to men. So blood was not what was sprinkled on us. It was the Spirit that was given to men at salvation. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. I begin to close. These things are very clear, straightforward. But then we must allow our dogma, dogma formed outside the word of God, our religious bias and sentiments, we must allow them give way and receive the truth of the word of God. Look at this now. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. In fact, let me read from verse 22. Bible says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Now don't disconnect the blood of sprinkling from Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah. So the blood of sprinkling answers to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the one who is alive from the dead, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, the one whom, having purged our sins, sat down. So the blood of sprinkling is about Jesus being the mediator of the new covenant. And this speaks of his resurrection. Hallelujah. The Jesus that is a mediator of the new covenant is not the Jesus that is dead, but the Jesus that is alive forevermore. Glory be to God. So blood of sprinkling is just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. That which we received is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we don't sprinkle blood on people. And that also shows you how it is out of place to be pleading the blood. How do you plead life? Hallelujah. Because the blood of Jesus is his life. The blood of Jesus is life given to us. It's the Spirit of God imparted to us as salvation. So how do you plead that? The only way to take advantage of the blood today is to believe the gospel. Hallelujah, is to believe the gospel. The man that believes the gospel receives eternal life. Some years back, I heard the man, Reverend Ade Adebayo, say that we ought not to be singing that there's a fountain filled with blood. We should rather say there's a fountain filled with life. And that's very true. Because the fountain today is not filled with blood, physical blood, but filled with the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So that the man that believes in Christ Jesus is not dipped into any blood, he is given eternal life. That's the blood. Hallelujah. He's giving eternal life, the very life of God. Glory be to God on high. Hallelujah. So Christ himself is our propitiation. His life in us and he before the Father, that's the propitiation. Glory be to God. The outcome of his resurrection is the reason why God is propitiated. It's the reason why God is satisfied. God looks at us and sees the life of his Son. God looks at us and sees every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. He sees it in us. God looks at us and sees all and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in us. God looks at us and sees all that he put in Christ. He sees in us. So God is satisfied. God is propitiated. Hallelujah. Because of the outcome of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your colleagues, your classmates. Hallelujah. Let's come together again to study the word of God and have a great time in the word of God. And do have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Be a blessing to somebody. Share your faith with somebody today and see you in the next episode.